What a fitting time to be preaching on this particular chapter in James. If I could see by the show of hands, how many of you that are on your devices, and if I could see you, if you could just raise your hand and say that the stay at home that you're at, that you're literally starting to crack up. Because I know that I am, even though I have the opportunity of coming to the church, I still am getting a little uneasy with just the confinements of not being able to do things. And so this particular, this chapter that I'm going to be preaching out is just an amazing time for this. You know, it's maybe, you know, we're thinking of my tongue needs a little maintenance because of the stresses that we're going through that kind of make us do and say things that, you know, are not our norm. And, you know, and I can actually admit that I actually came home the other day and I was a little on edge after the governor had said that he was extending the stay for another 6 weeks. And so I was a little cranky where my kid said, Dad, or the kid said to my wife, what's wrong with Dad? And she says, you might want to go in your room right now. Just because I was at a point where I was just starting to get a little cranky and I was starting to crack. And as I was getting wound up, my wife had to look at me and she had said, hey, knock it off. She reminded me, who does this battle belong to? And church, that's what I want all of you guys to understand is who does this battle belong to? You know, she had said, we know how the story ends. We had the opportunity of this past week of going through the Easter weekend, and it was a very, something that we haven't experienced ever in history around the world as far as Easter and not being able to be in the house of God. But we had to see it in a different way. We had to do church in a different way. And because of that, that was uneasy. But the thing is, church, we know how the story ends and we know who this battle belongs to. Church, we're going to see a victory because what the enemy does for evil, you know, God does for what? And I'm hoping in all of your houses at the same time, we're saying he does it for good. We're in a moment in time where, you know, the testimonies are going to come out of this. People are looking for the word and they're looking for that, but they're also looking to us as the believers to making sure that we're giving them what they're needing, but we need to be careful on how our tongue is. You know, so with tonight, let's hopefully find how we can stay on track with that. And so the title of my message today is The Power of the Words. You know, in this book of James is written, it was written to the first century Jewish Christians residing in the Gentile communities outside of Palestine. You know, so he's speaking to the Jewish Christians and he's speaking to them. And so he's writing these letters and he's giving them the advice of, hey, we need a little bit of maintenance within our lives. And so there might have been some murmur, there might have been some tongues, there might have been some talk that people are just getting kind of squirrely. And so, you know, he is speaking to these people. And what a better person, you know, to give this advice to than who? Jesus's brother, right? I mean, you know, the practical advice he's using and giving to us as believers. And so in James 3, we're going to start in verse 1 and we're going to go to 18. I'm going to break down all these different verses and let's really concentrate on how James is speaking to us in these situations. And so in verse 1, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church." And so, wait a second, let's back up a second. So James is, you know, we're supposed to be spreading the gospel, we're supposed to be telling this, but he is right here already saying that we should not all become preachers and teachers within the church. And why is that? That is because for we who teach will be judged more strictly. And so I think back in the day of when I was wanting to become a preacher and become a pastor and especially a youth pastor, my wife constantly had to remind me because of I had to check myself inside and she had to say, are you sure you want to become a pastor? Because the way that sometimes you talk and the way that you display yourself isn't what a teacher and a pastor should be like. And so I had to really, really dive into myself as a person to see, hey, what does God want with me and how can I live up to his standards? And so those who teach will be judged more strictly. And so I want to make sure that when I am giving, when I'm speaking, when I'm teaching, when I'm giving things, the way I'm living my life outside these walls is going to be the way that Christ is going to say, good and faithful student. But in verse 2, it says, indeed, we all make mistakes. And James is telling that we will make mistakes. We're all going to fail. But we need to make sure that we're going to continue to rise above that and check ourselves and get closer and closer to the plumb line of Christ. Because for if we could control our tongues, if we could control our tongues, now listen to this, if we could control it, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in the other way, in every other way. Think about that. If we can control our tongues, everything else that's around us, everything that we're doing will be controlled because what is inside will then come out. And so if we're trying to live a perfect life and not to sin, we have to learn to control ourselves. In verse 3, it says, we can make large horses go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in its mouth. And if any of you guys know anything about, you know, horseback riding and horses, one of the things they do is they put a rein around the horse and they put this bit in its mouth, and that gives it the opportunity of controlling the horse left or right and to go in the direction that you want to. And I've grown up on horses, and I've really enjoyed them. Like when we go on vacations, we'll always try to make the opportunity of going and doing that. So, you know, hey, shout out to anybody up in the church if you got a horse ranch or you want to, you know, throw an invitation. But part of that is, though, the reins gives you the ability of controlling this large animal by that mere metal bit in the horse's mouth. You can put a small child on it, and just by the little tug left or right, you know, you can get it to go where you want. And if you think about that, you know, I look at that as, with me as a person, that bit to me should be like, the bit is the Holy Spirit, and he's going to kind of guide us left and right. But that gives the kids, you know, and adults, and anybody that rides on a horse, it gives them the ability of controlling that. But in verse 4, it says, a small rudder makes a huge ship turn whenever the pilot, wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. You know, that you can have a massive boat, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have seen the show Deadliest Catch, and they've got these massive, massive boats, 100-footers, and they're going through these waves, and they're just smashing through the roughest of seas. But that rudder that's on the back of the ship is minimal in comparison to what it needs to, what you would think to turn that ship left or right. But the captain at the helm is able to steer that left and right and go into the wind. And go into the waves. But also, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speech. Think about what the tongue can do and how the tongue can take this word and it can preach across the nation, across the world, and how Billy Graham has reached millions and has the salvation message through this. But with the same thing, with the crazy times that are going on, that same tongue can, you know, get people kind of wound up, and there can be some hatred going between people. I mean, we're starting to see that with rallies going around. You've got two sides that are divided. Not only that, you also have the same thing within a church, and where is our stance in this whole entire situation, right? But it takes a small little spark to start a forest fire. But a tiny spark can set a great forest fire, a forest on fire. It's the same thing. Our tongue has that ability where it can go through, you know, it within your home, within your community, within the church. You know, you can say that I don't really agree with that pastor. I don't agree with this group of people of what they're doing. And so that small little spark can start spreading. It can be, you know, things moving through the church, and you can have a church divide. And so James is trying to tell the people that, hey, you got to watch what you're saying because the littlest things can set people off. And so the maintenance in within us, we have to be very careful on that, and that's what James is trying to do. And as we move into verse 6, it says, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of a fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set by a fire from hell itself. Church, my question to you is, what are you digesting? What are you putting in? Are you on your knees before the Lord every day and praying? Are you fasting? Are you getting into this? And especially the words that are written in red, because they're even more important. But as believers, that's what James is trying to do, is get us in the fact of the maintenance within us. Are we tightening our nuts? Are we, putting in the screws? Are we putting a little oil where it needs to be to make sure that when we are doing that, that we are getting closer to Christ and we are being that plumb line to where we should be as believers? Because that's what James is talking about. That's who he's talking about. I had the opportunity of taking some youth on an Ames trip to El Salvador. And it was an amazing place that we went to, that it was King's Castle. And the setting of this place was really neat because it was on the side, it was built in the side of a non-active volcano. And they had wild horses that were roaming throughout the property. And because it was a desire for the organization for that, to take these horses and train them to go out to all different places throughout the countryside, places that we couldn't get cars, so that we can get the gospel to different people. And so these horses were there. And I'm constantly looking at it going, hey, I want to get on one of these horses. And they said, these horses are wild. They are going to buck you off. They are not meant to ride. They are way wild. And so I was talking with one of the missionaries one day, Aaron, and I said to Aaron, I said, hey, Aaron, can you, come on, you got to help me out. You got to get me on one of these horses because, I mean, to ride in El Salvador, to be on the side of a volcano, I think that's kind of amazing. And he says, well, let me see what I can do. So the next morning, we had come out of where we were staying in our dorms, and I am walking down this decline of the property. And all of a sudden, I see two horses that are saddled up that are sitting there on the right-hand side of the road. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, Aaron really pulled it off. And all of a sudden, I hear from the back of me, I hear, hey, Steve, did you see that? And I'm like, yeah, Aaron, did you pull that off? He goes, no, that must be some of the nationals that have come in. And they, you know, that's how they came into the property to work. And I said, hey, you got to talk to them. So we walk on down there, and so we're talking to him, and so he translates for me, and he says, hey, can the pastor ride one of the horses? You know, he likes to ride, and, you know, they said, sure. So I gave my phone to one of the youth students. I said, yeah, you know, get some pictures, you know, this is kind of cool. So I get on this horse, and for those of you that have ridden a horse, you know, there's a thing that you have to, you know, a relationship that you need to have with it, you know, just to get to kind of know it so he's not threatened. But also, one of the things that you do is you pull up on the reins and you make sure that you know, like you own that horse. Say, hey, I'm in charge. You're not going to be running me around. I'm going to be one calling the shots. Again, with that bit in the mouth, you pull it to the left and the right. So I get on this horse, and I do that same stuff I normally done with every other horse that I've been on. And all of a sudden, as I pull back on this thing, because he's getting kind of squirrely, you know, he's like, hey, I got some person I don't know who's on my back. And all of a sudden, as I pull back, and I'm like, whoa, and all of a sudden, he must have had a bad toothache, because he comes up the first time. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm hoping this is on camera. I'm like, Jared, please tell me you're filming this, because he rears up, and I'm feeling like the Long Ranger. And I'm like, this is amazing. I've come all the way out here to do this. Well, he did it again. And I'm pulling like, yo, relax. So all of a sudden, he does it a third time, and he flips all the way back over, and I'm rolling on the ground. And my first thought is, Jared, please tell me you had that on record, because I know that had to look hilarious by everything. He says, I didn't, because I was so freaked out the first time, I forgot to hit record. But it was that small bit in the mouth where then the national is then speaking in Spanish so fast, and he's talking to Aaron, the missionary, and he says, no, you got to do it real gently. You know, just a little bit, not hard, just gently. Thinking that horse needs to see a dentist, because I've done that with every other horse around. So I had to get back on the horse, and I was very nervous at that point, and I was thinking he was going to take me for a ride now, because now he's owning me. But that bit in the mouth of that horse was the simple guide of that. And so we have to be careful on how we control that because of the actions that'll be had. In verse 7, as we continue on, James says, people could tame all kinds of animals. They can tame birds and reptiles and fish. I mean, think about it. You could go to SeaWorld and you could see a whole sequence of these animals just doing routines together. They'll be, you know, waving their arms. They're playing with balls. They're spitting water. It's the most amazing thing. We had the opportunity of going to the Atlanta Aquarium, and we had a chance of seeing this, and I was blown away that these animals can do that. But you've seen orchid whales do the exact same thing, to where you can hold a conversation with a bird, right? I mean, crazy. You can hold a conversation with a bird and train these things to do certain things. But in verse 8, it says, but no one can tame the tongue. Think about that. We control animals and wild, you know, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, we can do all of that. We can get animals to do the most amazing things. But us as human beings, the most, the smartest person on this planet, and we can't tame our tongue. It is restless and evil and full of deadly poison. That's what it is. I mean, our tongue has that ability. And so I had this picture of a horse that I wanted to, you know, that I had put up, and it's very eloquent, and I love the way it looks, how it just, it's set up, and it shows the reins on the horse, and it's the way it's standing there. And the thing I want to ask you is, are you controlling the tongue with the Holy Spirit bit in your mouth? Or are you talking from the other end? That is your witness, and that is, are you allowing that bit that's inside your mouth? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you? Are you using that to your advantage as a believer? Because all it takes is a little bit here and a little bit there by the Holy Spirit to say, hey, yeah, that group of people over there, you know, your past hasn't been too good with them. Let me pull you over this way. Or hey, you know, maybe you should be looking at stuff. Let me pull you a little bit this way. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you? Because your tongue is so powerful. The power of the word is just, it's remarkable what you can do with it for the good or what you can do for the evil. But it's the power of the word. And are you allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you with that? Or are you talking from the other end? But as we carry on in verse 9, it says, sometimes it praises our Lord and our Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. That's our tongue. You know, we can be giving praise to our Jesus, and we can be saying the just amazing, you know, we can just be preaching the word and talking to our brothers and sisters and giving, you know, and praying on them and giving them just hope in Christ. But as it says in 10, and so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. It's not right. Because again, it's what are you putting inside of you? What are you digesting? Are you putting this in? Or are you looking at like a Time magazine that's showing different things? Are you looking at, you know, a Maximum magazine? Or are you watching things on TV that are, or are you going to places that you shouldn't be? What are you digesting in you as a believer? James is trying to tell us that. He's trying to get us to understand, hey, you know, we need to tighten the way that we do things because we are held to a different standard. But people, what they do is they're going to be coming to church, you know, they're at home and they're going to talk one way and they're going to say this and that, and, you know, but then they'll be around their friends, but all of a sudden they get to church and they're like, I wouldn't say that. Oh, I would never do that. You know, and that's what the problem is with the church, and why the outside, you know, of non-believers, they go, you know, people are, you know, the church is, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They wear masks. But church, let me tell you something. We don't wear masks. We just get uglier. Think about that. You know, we're putting on this facade. It's not a facade that we're putting on. We are just getting beat with 10 ugly sticks because we are not living in the truth of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand where the truth comes from and what we're digesting, what we're putting in us, because what comes in comes out. And if you're not living in the word, if you are not being a maintained Christian and fasting, I mean, perfect time right now is we need to be fasting for our governor and for our president and all the people around, even Pastor Brooks, of the direction of our church and our world. Great opportunities. As we move on to verse 11, it says, does a spring of water bubble out of both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from salty spring. You can't have salt water and fresh water together. It just doesn't work. You know, freshwater fish and you know, they can't be in the ocean. I mean, a lot of times, you know, if you've ever gone swimming in Lake Michigan, and you can swallow that water and nothing happens to you unless it rains a lot and the MMSD dumps a lot. Different story. But anyways, don't drink that water at that time. But or you can go to the ocean and you can take on a bunch of that water and instantly you throw up. But the digestion of what you're putting in you, and what is your tree? What is it producing? Are you being noticed by the rest of the world by how you act? Is the world loving you and hating Jesus? Are they not happy with you and they want to know more about Jesus? But what are you putting in? Because the world needs it, especially in this time, in this day and age. In Luke 6:43, it says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit, and figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes." And in 45, it says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of the good heart. And an evil person produces evil things that the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what your heart is. And so us as the believer, us as the church, are we being encouraged by one another? The music that you play, is it edifying your spirit within you? And are you able to give God your worship by the music that you're listening to? And with me, that's a common thing, is I just listen to worship music all the time. And when I used to be in the trades, I used to have people come onto the job site and they were like, "Dude, what is up with this music? What are you listening to?" Because you'd go on to the next job site and they're listening to AC/DC and they're pumping all that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you come on to ours and you're hearing Elevation Worship, or you're hearing, you know, you're hearing worship that's praising God and uplifting. And guys would, you know, at first they were making fun of me and you know, this and that. And they were cursing around me and they were doing different things. But the more and more they came into it, they felt the presence and the peace of God within the area that I was working. And all of a sudden, I found themselves not cursing as much to wanting to know more about Jesus. Are we choosing to be like Christ for the teachings? Are we allowing the world to steer our rudder in the direction away from the sanctification of the Lord? Who's at the helm of your ship? Who is steering it for you and helping you, guiding you through the storm? This is a time right now that so many people are in the storm. They're in a place where they don't know what to do financially. They're hurting and with health. And we're having people, you know, pass away and they're not even able to see their loved ones. And so they're in a storm. And so us as believers, if we're living in that way, we have the gospel at the grips of our fingers. And if we're living right, they're going to want to know more about it. Because we can't speak out of one side of our mouth and speak out of the other side of the mouth, because the world sees that. And I want to make sure that they don't say that, you know, the mask that he's wearing is not that of Christ. The true wisdom comes from God. And continue within James 3 and verse 13, it says, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life and doing the good works with humility that comes from wisdom." And again, there's so much going on in the internet right now. There's so much division that's going on the internet right now. It's social media and with people on the news. And, you know, they're saying one thing and they're getting angry about another thing. But as opposed to understand that we need to be praying. We need to be going to God for our situation. Yes, we can call our government officials and we can plea out to them and say, "Hey, you know, this is my business needs to open," or "This is what's going on." And we can do that, but in the same sense, we have to keep our composure. But we also need to say, "Hey, can I pray for you? I know that you're in a place where that you've never had to deal with this ever before." I mean, I can just think of the new county executive that's coming in our area. He's coming into an epidemic and trying to figure out his city. But what we can do is say, "Hey, I understand that you're going through these things. What can I do to pray for you? You know, I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to pray for protection over you." But like 13 says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life and doing the good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. People might ask you, hey, what about this? And you might not have the answer, but that's okay. You can get back to them and say this and that, but we need to get to that point. As we move on to 14, it says, but if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover it up with the truth of boasting and lying. In 15, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For whatever or wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Are you taking that wisdom, the truth and the wisdom that comes from God in the first part of that, in 13, or are you allowing the foothold of Satan to take over and come in your life? As believers, it's not easy. You know, your relationship with Christ is you can say, hey, I've turned away from my ways and I've got that. But we have to keep coming back to the well, right? Church, come on. We need to keep coming back to the well and drinking from the living water and not going to our tap and saying, hey, fill me up. Because it's through Jesus Christ that we find our wisdom. And in verse 17, it says, but the wisdom from far above is first of all is pure. It is also peace-loving and gentle at all times, and it's willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and fruits of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Do you have the gifts of the Spirit flowing out of you? Are you gentle? Are you kind? Are you having those things come out of you? And those of you who are peacemakers will plant the seed of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. I said the church is literally, the community is looking to the church right now. They are looking to you. Are you setting yourself apart? And are you the peacemaker in these times? Because that is what the world needs. They need Jesus Christ. I talked earlier about that horse that I rode on in El Salvador. And I think about that as far as that horse, that's the world in that bit that's in the mouth that should be the Holy Spirit, that you know, you're controlling the horse now, and that bit within that horse is the world, and it's tugging you and it's pulling you, and you know the Holy Spirit is like, hey, come on, I'm trying to help you, and you're just bucking that thing off because you are just giving those things the opposite of what the Holy Spirit's trying to give you, and you are just being taken off that horse, or you're kicking Christ off that horse. But we need to continue to press on, even in the hard times. We need to praise Him in the good. We need to praise Him in the bad, because in the storm, what comes out is evil. You know, what's happening for the evil, God is going to use it for good. I've got more people that I'm talking to now that I've been telling about the gospel of Jesus Christ because we're in uncertain times. But what better thing is just to want more of Him. And in Matthew 5, 3, the Sermon on the Mount is the Beatitudes of with Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And I want you to hear this in chapter 5 in verses 3 through 11. It says, God bless those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful. They will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Blessed are those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Jesus is speaking to the people and he's telling them that blessed are those. When I was reading these Was Jesus saying that to you, blessed are you because you fit into these verses? You know, one of the things I had to do is I didn't know what beatitude meant. I had to look it up. So I literally took the dictionary, and what it means is supreme blessedness. The expression of beatitude is the religious sometimes adopts. The synonyms are blessedness, benediction, grace, bliss, exaltation, supreme happiness, heavenly joy, divine rapture, saintliness, sainthood. And the cool thing is where it says in this, at the very bottom of it, it says, the blessing listed by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 3 through 11. Is that you? Are you doing the proper maintenance on your life that James is talking about, that he's talking to the people? And are you rising above the situations that you're in? Are you giving God the glory for the good, the bad, and the evil? Or are you allowing the enemy to take control of your tongue? Because the power of the word, the power of the tongue is amazing. And it's the bit that's in your mouth, the guiding factor that's are you allowing that? Are you giving him the helm of the ship in the storm? Like it said early in James, it talked about, you know, we all make mistakes, and we do. In verse 2, indeed, we all make mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we could be perfect, and we could also control ourselves in every other way. Church, are you doing that? Are you controlling your tongue? Because when you control your tongue, you control your actions. You're able to reach out in different ways, and you can preach the gospel and sometimes use words. At this time, what I want each and every person that's got a device, if you're watching on your TV, your computer, your tablet, your phone, I want you to close your eyes in this moment, even with your within family, and it feels kind of awkward. Just, we're going to take this time to reflect on the maintenance within our lives. If while you were hearing this story in the Word, and you're hearing this and saying, I need more of you, Jesus. I need you to guide me. I need you to take hold of the reins, and I need you to be the Holy Spirit bit in my mouth so that I don't say the wrong things, because there's nothing more than I'd want to be is to be a teacher in a church. I want to be the one that can lead the generation, and I want to be the one that can preach the Word and not steer anybody else in the wrong ways. If that is you, and you're just desiring more of him, and I'm not gonna have you do a repeat after me, but the one thing I want you to do is between you and God, but you do need to say, I need you. I need you, because I've been there in the past, and I've got family and friends that are in the past, but all you gotta do is raise your hand and say, I need it. I need the maintenance in my life. I need to change what's going on in my life. Father God, I pray over these people. Lord, as they reflect in their life and they realize that they say, Jesus, come live inside of me. Lord, forgive me for some of the things I've said. Forgive me for some of the words that I've spewed out to other people. Father, forgive me. And Lord, come and dwell within me, and let me be the salt of the earth, the light to the lost in this time. Because I got to tell you, we are in uncertain times. And it just, and some people could say this could be the end times. I don't know. But I don't want to be the two people in the field working and my neighbor is taken up and I'm left behind. I want to make sure that I am all in with Jesus. All in with Jesus. The power of the word is amazing, but the power of your words right now in this moment could be even more amazing, because this is a time where you say, Jesus, come live inside of me. Forgive me my past. And he has done that. He is doing that, because we just seen that this past weekend with the Easter celebration, that he went to the cross, a sinless man. He took on the weight of the world so that we could have, in this very moment, we could accept Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But it takes more than you just accepting Christ. It takes you getting into this word. It takes you getting into a Devo. It takes you getting into a church. It takes you doing the maintenance after the fact. Because if you don't, you're gonna be guiding the horse and kicking Jesus off, because that bit isn't Jesus. That is the sin in the world. But Father God, I love these people. I'm hoping I resonated with somebody, because I just want to know that when the end comes, that I'm going to see my brothers and sisters here filling up this church. They're going to be rising up together, and we are going to go out and just start a revival, because we got on our face before Lord in this time. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do and for guiding our tongue and giving us the power of the word to tell the gospel to all the nations in every place. We thank you for this time, in your precious holy name. Amen.